Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Do we have the determination to confront the slow-motion moral collapse that has taken place in parts of our country these past few generations?
Abraham Lincoln said, states do not have the right to do wrong. And when we have people that say states have the right to pass gay marriage, I say, no, they do not.
My parents took us to church every week. We went to a Lutheran church, First Lutheran in Waterloo. They prayed with us at night. We prayed before we had mealtime. They really instilled wonderful values in us.
You cannot add to perfection. His perfect righteousness is imputed to you the same way your sins were imputed to him when he was on the cross.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Well, I hear that dads are actually spending more time with their kids, and that's good news. But is it all the news, and is all the news about dads out lately good news? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 25th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us to talk about the value of a dad's presence and a little bit on World Youth Day. After that, on Issues Etc., Terry Mattingly will talk about recent coverage of Christians hooked on pornography. Then we'll remember, along with the rest of the church, St. Augustine and his mother, Helena. Joining us first is Colleen Carroll Campbell. She's host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
Give us the good and bad news statistically on the presence of fathers in America.
Well, the new Pew Research Center report that I wrote about recently in the Post-Dispatch did indeed have some good news when it comes to dads in America. They found that basically American fathers are more active in their children's daily lives than they have been really ever since these statistics have been tracked, and that's basically half a century. A dad who lives with his kids now regularly eats meals with them, plays with them, reads to them, helps them with their homework, asks them about their day. He puts in about twice as many hours on kid duty as his own father did. In 1965, the average married dad spent only about 2.5 hours a week caring for his children. By 2000, that average had risen to 6.5 hours a week. That's, of course, fewer than the average mother spends caring for her children. But even that higher average probably underestimates the involvement of today's dads. There was a 2011 edition of Father Facts, which is kind of a reference manual on fatherhood-related research. It's published by the National Fatherhood Initiative. This report, which came out around the same time as the Pew report, found that significantly more fathers today walk their children to school, attend the PTA meetings, the class events. Many more do that even in 2009 than did it 10 years earlier in 1999. So what we're seeing is this real spike in a father's activity level in his children's lives, attentiveness to their daily lives. Dads are very involved today. That's the good news. The bad news is that describes the dads who tend to be married to their children's mothers. That's the dad who lives with his kids and is married to his kid's mother. It's a whole different picture when you look at the fathers who don't live with their children. And that picture is the one that's really distressing. There's a real rise in absent fathers. Today, there are more than 1 in 4 children living in America apart from their fathers. In 1960, that number was just more than 1 in 10. So that's a huge jump to the number of children who are living apart from their dads. And the numbers are even starker for African American and Hispanic children. And what we're seeing is that this has very practical, concrete consequences in the lives of children. All the things I mentioned before, eating meals with kids, regularly asking your kid how his day went, helping with homework, all of that, the numbers are much, much lower for fathers who aren't living in the home with the children for the obvious reason that they just simply have less access and less opportunity to be a day-in, day-out father to their children.
So kind of as a summary, fathers who are home with their kids or live with their kids are spending more time with their kids, but more fathers are not living with their kids.
That's right. And the ones who don't live with their kids, there is a subset of this group that tries to reach out by phone and email. They try to be involved in their kids' daily lives. But it's a pretty small subset. And as there are about one-fifth of these fathers who live away from their kids visit their children several times a week. But more than a quarter of them haven't seen their children in at least a year, sometimes much longer than that. So it's sort of the best of times and the worst of times. If you've got a dad married to your mom living in your house, you're probably seeing more of him than you ever would have, in our culture, 20 years ago. But if your dad is not married to your mom and not living in your home, you're probably seeing quite a lot less of him. And there are higher and higher chances these days that your dad is, in fact, not married to your mom and not living in your home. And we know that this has, this has consequences not just for, Jimmy or Judy on the school ground or, having a good day, having a good year when they're in fourth grade. This has consequences way down the road for these kids and for society as a whole. The 2011 Father Facts report made that clear. It showed that children who live apart from their biological fathers are more likely to suffer abuse, get into trouble with the law, abuse drugs or alcohol, struggle with emotional and behavioral problems, live in poverty, and get involved in early sexual activity. They're even more likely to divorce and bear children out of wedlock themselves. Children raised by their married mothers and fathers, by contrast, fare better on nearly every sociological measure available, and that's been holding true now for 40 years. So there's obviously a connection between being a good dad and being a dad who's there on the scene day to day. But unfortunately, in our culture, it's politically incorrect to say that because so many families don't look like that anymore. And I think we're afraid to speak out and say, look, if you want to be a good dad, a huge chunk of being a good dad is simply being there. And the best way to be there is to be married to your children's mother.
I also wanted to talk with you briefly in the next few minutes about World Youth Day. As you say, another one has come and gone. What does it mean? What does the media largely think or say that World Youth Day, this gathering of, we're talking now about 1.5 million young Catholics to spend some days together and with the pontiff? What does this mean? What does the media say it means?
Well, what it means and what the mainstream media says it means are, of course, two different things. This began by the late Pope John Paul II in 1984. It was the first time that he welcomed 300,000 young Catholics to Rome. And, the fact that he issued this invitation to the youth and the fact that they answered in such huge numbers sort of blew everyone away within the church and outside it. And as the years went on, and now we're into, the third decade of this nearly, secular pundits have really struggled to make sense of this. The initial explanation, what do you expect? Of course you're going to attract crowds if you're doing this in a really Catholic country. And they were, of course, talking about the million young people who turned out in Argentina for the 1987 World Youth Day. Nearly 2 million came out in Poland for the 1991 World Youth Day. They said, that's typical of a Catholic country that's sort of got the old world sensibility. But if you try to export this World Youth Day idea to secular Western Europe, the heart of it, or to North America, you're never going to see this happen. It's not going to fly. Well, of course, in 1993, 500,000 young Catholics came out to cheer the Pope in Denver. In 97, more than 1 million came out to Paris, the World Youth Day, secular Paris. So then the famous, John Paul's famous rock star charisma came into play, and we were told that the only reason these kids are coming out is because he's such a dynamo. And when he dies, World Youth Day will die with him. But that didn't turn out to be the case either. Pope Benedict XVI is his successor. He's shyer. He's more scholarly. He doesn't have that actor's flair, although he has a charisma of his own. But it's certainly not what they were attributing to John Paul. And yet, his first World Youth Day in 2005 in Germany attracted 1 million pilgrims. And he attracted almost 2 million to this most recent World Youth Day in Madrid. So You know, again, we still hear, though, the dismissive theories, and the most popular one is to simply say it's a party and kids just want to go to a party and they don't really care about all this religious stuff. But that was tough to buy when you were seeing the images coming out of Madrid last week. These are kids who are hiking in 104-degree heat. They're sleeping on the floors of schools and church basements. They're foregoing showers, waiting 90 minutes to use the porta-potty. And more than a million of them attended an all-night prayer vigil in a field outside Madrid, the vast majority of them kneeling on the, in the mud for over an hour as part of kind of the climax of the prayer vigil. So these do not look like young heathens just looking for a good time. And what I think this really means then, and what the mainstream media misses so often, is the fact that young adults are hungry for a personal connection to God, but also for a way to experience God in community. And that's the thing I think they're missing in even a lot of their homes, and certainly, you know, in the culture at large where faith is increasingly privatized. World Youth Day gives them a chance to look around, see a million or more people their age celebrating Jesus, celebrating the faith, and realize that I am not alone in putting God at the center of my life rather than relegating him to the margins. And that, I think, is the true message of World Youth Day, and that's why I think the Pope is a central unifying figure for these young adults. But it's not all about a papal personality. It's not all about the country where the party is. It's not all about a party. In fact, a lot of it increasingly is about silent prayer time. You know, I think it's a really hopeful sign for Christians to see this next generation spiritual hunger. But I think the fact that secular pundits don't get it is really to be expected, unfortunately.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks again, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk with Terry Mattingly about a recent CNN story regarding Christians hooked on pornography.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.